Log Talk Radio.
What's going on? Thanks, thanks. Still live. Let's go live. Thanks, what's going on? Mic check, 1-2. 1-2, 1-2. What's going on? What's going on, going on? Going on? What's going on, peace? Now, yo, welcome to the Large Manifest Show. Another show. You know what I mean? Summer's looking good. But right now, we already done, we're near the end of summer, or we at the end of summer. Wow. It's been a crazy summer. So, anyhow, this is the Tariq Nasheed's You Are Not the Gatekeeper of Hip-Hop. As I say in the title, you're not the gatekeeper of real hip-hop or hip-hop. But before I dive in, you know what I mean, dive in with my arms instead of my head first, I'll just move around this beat. I hope my microphone is sounding pretty good. And also, I got to calm down. I gotta calm my ass down. Well, what up? You like my ass? I'm from BK, but I hold it down in the X and 5 Boulevard. Yo, we got a lot to talk about tonight, son. We got a lot to build on tonight. Got a lot on my mind. A lot to talk about. So, what I did, I went on, I've been on Twitter a lot, but not just the fact of being on Twitter, posting beats that I do. I see the MP, see the Ren, no doubt, my best homie right there. But yeah, I've been on Twitter doing my thing, but there's some things happening on Twitter. Things happening on Twitter. And it's been really bogged out. But I'm gonna get to that. But basically, before I start to point the finger, I'm gonna tell y'all a little bit of something about myself. But this, before we get into it, I just would like, you know what I mean, peace to the gods. Like to build on today's mathematics. This is how I start to show off. And today's math is the 27th. 2 is wisdom. 7 is G-O-D. That's what this is right here. It's the 7. Today is wisdom, God. Alright? You add up 7, right? 8, 9. That's born. 9 is born. You neither born 9 months. You born through the womb of a black woman. Takes 9 months to birth a newborn baby. Number 2, you born through the physical degree of Allah's mathematics. So basically what I want to say to you is that the completion of all things in existence, many times us as 5%ers will say that the knowledge is born, which what I said to you, that the knowledge is born. That's the results of manifestation of this knowledge that we bring about. That's today's mathematics. Wisdom, God, all being born back to born. Seven is the 2, 8, 9. That's born. Peace to the gods. And we'll probably stay on that note. We'll probably get on that note on more building. Let me rock another beat. We'll rock another beat. Got my laptop over here. Keep the beats rocking. Oh, we just rocked that one. Gonna rock another joint. But yeah, because I have forward beats to certain producers. All right, we'll rock with that. I hope my mic is sounding good. I'm also broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. So my last recent radio show was with MC Sam. That was like the spring, beginning of spring. MC Sam came on, you know, had him right here in the YouTube podcast. It was dope talking with MC Sam, DJ K-Rock, MC Lights DJ, Valor from Valor Double O, rest in peace to Double O. These are brothers that I grew up as a youngin', grew up in the 80s listening to. And it was a dream, a pleasure to have them on this show. My show, the Lord Manifest Show. But I'm not a YouTuber like Tariq Nasheed and the rest of them out there. Shout out to Umar Johnson. Shout out to MREC. I'm shouting them out. They don't even know me. But whatever. I watch their joints. But I'm not a real YouTuber. You know, only time I get on YouTube is when I'm uploading the MPC. That's the only time I get up on YouTube is when I'm uploading beats that I do, making little, you know, little bullshit videos on Triller. I upload them. My views not up. Subscribers not up. But that's cool. I don't care. Talk about me. You know what I mean? Because once I kick up, I'll start the promotion. I'll start the promo and slowly build. Because right now, I'm not even at 500 subscribers. And I ain't real fun. I paid for some views, but some of them views drop. Then surprisingly, some of them views stay on. I got 1,000 views on certain videos. Then videos are posted. The views was crazy, and I didn't pay for nothing. So this is the Lord Manifest Show. I'm broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio, and you also got me right here live on YouTube. So right now I'm doing what you say or what you call the emergent. Shout out to my brother Mark Rippin, Mark Live. The group is Raw Breed, AOD. I talked to him earlier. Y'all remember, you know, if you watched this show, I had Mark Live as my co-host. I talked to him earlier and told him, you know, what the hell was going on. Now, I'm not going to curse a lot. I'm not going to curse a lot. I'm going to curse just a tad bit. But my daughter's back in the other room down the hall. So I don't want to be wilding out. Like, I'm bugged out with the curses. Like, I'll curse in certain instances, and then some instances I don't curse. Oh, curse, and I understand being on YouTube. YouTube don't like the vulgar language, being all vulgar and crazy with the language. I got a few copyright strikes. I'm not trying to get one tonight, not on this one. Of course, I edit my videos, chop them up, whatever, post them on IG, post them on Facebook. There's a bunch of fake people on Facebook, but that's another story. I just recently got the NPC killer Instagram suspended. Instagram suspended me. They suspended my Instagram. Don't know if I'm going to get my gram back, but Instagram, they suspended me because I said that's them damn Nigerians scamming motherfuckers. Part of my language. What was hate speech about that? So only on Instagram. You know with social media, it's like anything is hate speech except the N-bomb. Ninja. You know what I mean. I'm not going to say the N-word. Ninja. Motherfucking ninja. You know what I mean? So everything on social media is hate speech except the N-word. Anything is hate speech, the N-word. So I said Nigerians is going in inboxes talking about, can you send me a screenshot? I need your help. I got locked out of Facebook. I need to get my password. I'm not the one to come to. I play with them. I play with the Nigerians and whoever else in the inbox. I do bugged out messages. I hit them back with some crazy shit, and they don't like it. Then they leave me alone. Like, they hit me up. What's your name? Where you from? I say, my name is Bogeens. I'm in Nigeria. I'm Bogeens. They leave. They don't hit me back because they want money and, you know, it's a long story. We'll come back to that later. Let's rock another beat. I'm going to keep my beat. I hold my microphone. See my mic in the back right there. Hope the mic is sounding good. I hope I'm clear. Yo, this is a Ross type beat. Ricky Ross type beat. Stop. Let's try it again. Yo, hope my microphone sound good. Hope, you know what I mean? On Block Talk Radio. You right here on the tune. So I'm just rambling along. I'm hoping because I tagged clowns on Twitter that's been running their mouth. You got these people, these so-called, you know, state aid foundational black. There's black, oh man, we got so much to build on. But these black people, I'm a fall back on the cursing. Alright, I'm gonna fall back on the curse. Love this beat right here. You got this clip called Secure the Tribe. Turn it down so fair bit. Love it. Still have the beat in the background. Yeah, you got this clip on Twitter. They call themselves Secure the Tribe. Like Secure the Bag. Secure the Tribe. Already got into an argument. We're getting to that. I got the sound bite, too. I got the sound bite. I'm gonna play that. I'm gonna play that. And yes, it got cursing in it. It do. It got cursing in it. But I'm gonna play that soundbite. Secure the Tribes on Twitter. You know, it's a whole bunch of talk going on about hip-hop music. Who started it? Who lied about saying they started it? And all this BS. Ninjas is talking Sugar Honey Ice Tea. You know what that stands for. S-H-I-T. On Instagram about, yo, Duke didn't start hip-hop. It's foundational black Americans that started it. Like, oh, man, we gonna get into it. Because I got to introduce this title. It's something that I wrote up on you, Tariq Nasheed. Whether you want to call me corny, you want to call me a tether, an immigrant, or whatever. Whatever's clever. But I got to introduce the title. So, yeah, tonight going to be a nice little pill. And although ain't there's nobody in my chat room or the chat box, I see this kid, Old Dog, Zero Dog, he left a message, leaving his messages. He left a message right here. Message. I'll answer that later. But, we got some things to build on tonight. And we got some things to build on. Come in. Come in. We're live right now. Come say peace. Come in and say peace, but watch out. It's my daughter, y'all. Go like right behind me. And like down so they can see you. Go ahead and say peace. This is my mini-me female going live tonight. What's up, Jamila? Go ahead. Oh, matter of fact, if you don't mind, can you bring them to me as well? She want my grapes, you know. We eating healthy. We maintain it. But, yo, we going to get into it tonight. Man, I really... You know, that's the thing. It's like, I'm not verified. Imagine if I was verified on YouTube. All my social media. Thank you, Mr. Hingo. No, it's clean because I rinsed it. It's rinsed. Thank you. Silly. So, by the way, for me, Tariq Nasheed says he's the gatekeeper, him and his minions, his followers on his social media. Tariq Nasheed says he's the gatekeeper of hip-hop. Now, when did you, Duke, when were you ever a gatekeeper of hip-hop? Tariq Nasheed came out of nowhere. And I was spilling Tariq Nasheed a few years ago, like 2015, 2016. I went out to California, met a female and she put me on to Hidden Colors. I don't know nothing about Hidden Colors. I never heard of Tariq Nasheed. I see that he said he's been in the game since 2002 on social media. I guess back when MySpace was popping. I don't know nothing about Tariq Nasheed them years ago. But since Old Girl of California put me on to Tariq, I've been rolling with them ever since. Yeah. I've been rolling with Son playing since the Hidden Colors. And Umar Johnson. It's my Leo brother, my Leo. Shout out to Leo's, July, August. Well, when I saw that Umar Johnson was in Hidden Colors and everything that Tariq Nasheed talked about, white supremacy, you know, fighting against white supremacy. But you know what was interesting? The SBA that he talks right now, I didn't hear that out his mouth back then. I didn't hear that out of his mouth back then. Like we hearing him talk about this SBA right now. Now, I rocks with Tariq Nasheed to a certain extent. To a certain extent, but I'm not going to go along to get along and agree with anything that Tariq Nasheed talks about or has to say. Now, yes, I am a foundational black man here in America or foundational black American. I like Dr. Claude Anderson. Dr. Claude Anderson said, and also, you know I got the book, you know what I mean, Black Labor, White Wealth. We'll talk about that as well. I like what Dr. Claude Anderson said. Dr. Claude said that we are native black men or native black in America. Now, this is what Dr. Claude says. Now, Tariq Nasheed says, foundational black American or foundational black SBA. Now, I haven't heard Dr. Claude Anderson mention anything of that acronym, SBA. Dr. Claude says native black. You are native black man. You are native black American. I like the NBA, native black American, but I say NBA, MA, native black man American. That's how I put it. But before all that, I'm G-O-D. You know what I mean? I'm G-O-D. I'm God first. The black man is the original man. So, I roll, pardon me if I'm smacking, the brakes, baby. I like what Dr. Claude Anderson has to say. And anything, but shout out to Dr. Claude. Tonight's topic is Tariq Nasheed is not the gatekeeper of real hip-hop. You're not, Duke. Tariq Nasheed is not the gatekeeper. You and your peoples that follow you, not the gatekeeper. Now, I get where this is where I will say this. I agree with Tariq Nasheed for the Latino thing with hip hop. Now I'm born in 1973, and me and Tariq Nasheed, we are the same age. I might be a year older. He might be a year older. I'm 49. I think he was 47, 48. I might be a couple of years. But we, put it this way, when he was in the ninth grade, I was in the 11th grade. So me and Tariq are the same age. So with that being said, I wasn't here. 1973, I was a baby. I was a newborn. Tariq was a newborn. We wasn't here when shit was going down, when the foundational black Americans, when the native black Americans, when brothers was in the park here in the BX, putting hip-hop together. Me and Tariq Nasheed wasn't there. But let me say something to you. I don't need to be there not to know that Kool Herc is my father of this culture that I live, that we call hip-hop. I don't need to be there. I didn't have to be there. So I agree with Tariq Nasheed on the Latino part, on the Puerto Ricans part, where Puerto Ricans was not there in the beginning, 1973. It wasn't there. I get that. But I'm not going to front on the Puerto Ricans. They did come in a little later, and not to say that the Latinos are not pioneers, I'm going to have to somewhat disagree with you on that. I'm going to have to disagree with you on the Fat Boys not being pioneers of what they started in East New York. I'm from Brooklyn. So I remember as a young kid in Brooklyn, I seen Buffy. I seen Fat Boys. I seen them around Cypress Hill Project, East New York. I seen them New Lots. I'm like 10, 11 years old. So rest in peace to Prince Marky D, but Marky D was a pioneer of hip-hop for what he created. He pioneered the beatboxing. He did that. Yo, we got a lot to talk about, but Tariq Nasheed, you're not the gatekeeper of hip-hop. I already read your resume, already saw that you dropped in 1990. You see that gold plaque right there? That's my plaque, 1994. I was out in 1990 as well. We also got some shit in common. I used to live in Detroit, Michigan. You from Detroit. I used to live in Detroit. Detroit's like my second hometown. I used to live in the D. Portland. So I saw your resume. I heard your joint that you did. I seen your record. Cosmo Flex, yeah, I went by Lord Manifest, which is, this is the Lord Manifest show. So I'm not concerned with Latinos. Fat Joe saying that Puerto Ricans created hip-hop. I don't give a damn about that. I don't care. Because, I ain't got no beef. I don't have any beef with Fat Joe to be like, nah, man, you still in my culture. Nah, you can't say that Latinos created hip-hop. I don't give a fuck about that. I don't care about that. My thing, this is where I disagree with you, Tariq Nasheed. You're saying that DJ Kool Herc is a copycat. Jamaica he comes from. Now, pardon me. I'm not going to no Wikipedia tonight. I am, but I'm not going to Wikipedia on Kool Herc, because I know Kool Herc's resume. Someone on Twitter trying to tell me Kool Herc came here when he was 12. I know that. But check this out. Kool Herc is the same age as my father, 68 years old. My father's like 69, 70. Check this out. When he was 12 years old, everybody was 12. Everybody was 12. At that time, you talk about King Disco Mario. You talk about Grandmaster Flowers. You talk about DJ Pete Jones. Everybody was 12 years old at the time of being 12 years old, New York City. They all was 12. Nobody, unless it was somebody 25, 30 creating the culture, it wasn't. So Tariq, you way off your rocker, son. You're a hip-hop form. You're a hip-hop historian. I'm not a historian, but I am a historian of my culture, hip-hop. I know hip-hop. I don't have to read a book about hip-hop. I watch movies. Now, I got your soundbite. I got your YouTube queued up on my Apple laptop. I'm going to turn the speakers up. We're going to play this loud. I'm going to stop everything you say, and I got something to say about that. Right now, what I'm saying to you is that who hurt is my father, our father's generation of hip-hop music. Okay? I'm going to put these breaks down. I don't want to be pausing like that. Put these breaks down for a minute. I disagree with you. Cool Herc is the father. Now, before we get ready and build more on this hip-hop piece, bro, before we get ready and go deep and build more, because I'm getting ready to, it's 10:32, so around 11 o'clock, I'm going to introduce the title. We gonna dive on it. But right now, without me even going on, peace, bro, what's going on? I got one person. I don't know if you, bro, if that's you, but peace, or whoever, peace. Without me going to Wikipedia, already know off the top of my head, because I did my homework. Now, I'm not going to Wikipedia on Cool Herc. I got his resume. I'm going to go on Wikipedia, and we all can read it. We all can read it. I got DJ Pete Jones. I got his Wikipedia. From Brooklyn, I rap Brooklyn, no doubt. But Pete Jones is not the star. You can't say 1969. No one in 1969, Tariq Nasheed, was thinking about hip-hop. I saw a video with DJ Pete Jones where he was talking about, well, he extended the breakbeats for like a few minutes and three turntables with James Brown. But look at this. Pete Jones said DJ Cool Herc took it to another level. Now, I did not hear DJ Pete Jones say that Cool Herc got it for me. Pete Jones didn't say no shit like that. He didn't say that. Grandmaster Flowers. Now, Grandmaster Flowers, rest in peace to DJ Pete Jones. Now, I'm not going to disrespect them, brothers. Here's you, bro. Peace, bro. Bro, do me a favor, pretty please. Paul me. See if you can get your people to come in to tune into this show right here. Shalom. Thank you. Tariq Nasheed, you say foundational black Americans. You saying hip-hop was already here. Let me get my next beat popping. You saying hip-hop, foundational black Americans was already established during hip-hop before DJ Cool Herc came to New York City. Well, here's the deal. No doubt. Peace. Here's the deal. I didn't hear DJ Pete Jones. Matter of fact, I even Googled Pete Jones. I don't hear nothing with DJ Pete Jones or Grandmaster Flowers, Disco King Mario. I didn't hear nothing at that time that they were spinning real hip-hop and talking up the culture. Okay? Now, early days of 73, yeah, there wasn't no name. No, it wasn't hip-hop. The term hip-hop, H-I-P, H-O-P, was a term yet. But I want to tell you something, because I'm about to give you a pushback. It wasn't called the Miracle Well. Some fool on Twitter, oh, yeah, it wasn't called hip-hop. It was the Miracle Well. It was not the Miracle Well. The Miracle Well is what DJ Kool Herc explained in his video, what he did with two pieces of vinyl on some Technic 12 turntables. Or just turntables and not Technic. When he extended the break, he called that the Miracle Well. He didn't say that the culture was the Miracle Well. It just didn't have a name. I got that sound bite. I got that sound bite plugged up too. We can listen to that as well. I'll pull that up. Okay. For you to say that foundational black people were doing hip-hop, I agree with Dancing Duck. You were doing disco. Anything before 1973, before the year I was born, it was nothing but disco. Disco was popping all over the United States, mainly New York City. Everybody was the king of disco in all five boroughs. Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, Staten Island, Manhattan, Harlem, all five boroughs in one city. Disco, 1960s on up, 69, 70, 71, 72, disco. I haven't seen anything on record of somebody boom bapping. Rap, the microphone, the MCing, the turntable, the knowledge, the breaking, the five elements of hip-hop. That foundational black Americans was already established before Kool Herc. Because what you doing, Tariq Nasheed, and good luck to you, you're trying to rewrite hip-hop history. But it's not going to work for all the contribution that DJ Kool Herc did for this community, for the whole hip-hop community. And yes, we know rap music is not hip-hop, it's not rap music. We know it's two different things, but it merges together. It merges. So, with that being said, I have yet to see you on your Twitter, but you say you're getting ready to record or make a documentary film on hip-hop music. You say you're getting ready to make this film on hip-hop. I can't wait, because we're gonna deconstruct that too, and I'm gonna make sure I get the heavyweights. I'm gonna get my man T.R. Law from Ultra Magnetic. I'm gonna get MC Shan. Oh, we gonna deconstruct your shit, because you're doing your West Coast hip hop documentary. So I can respect a West Coast hip hop documentary. I respect that. But in your documentary, if you don't talk about Kool Herc, if you don't mention the foundation and tell the truth of the Bronx, which I think you may mention the Bronx, but you're gonna shake over Kool Herc and mention Disco King Mario, which you never told your fans. You say DJ Mario. You don't say Disco King Mario. You say DJ King Mario, DJ Mario. No, Disco. Because when you Wikipedia, it comes up, DJ Disco King Mario. And disco is not hip-hop. They do a disco now in 2022. They messing up the music and disco, P. Diddy, pop, all that. But 1973, before 73, it was disco music, son. They were doing disco. They were not doing what Kool Herc was doing. So... you posting things, you upset, You mad? You saying Busta Rhymes, telling everybody that Jamaicans created hip hop and all this BS. You saying all this and that? Yo, I know one thing for sure. If Fat Joe and Busta Rhymes would have sit down and think about early 73, Fat Joe would admit, there wasn't no Ricans in the beginning. Ricans came in a few years later, but they're still pioneers. See, here's the thing. You worry. You got a blue check on your name. You making all this money off your minions, off your followers, and you trying to change the narrative. I'm not making paper like you. But even if I was making paper and blowing up, you think I'm going to care if Fat Joe or Busta Rhymes talk about they created hip-hop? I got sense in my mind to know Kool Herc did it. The black man from Jamaica, he did it. I'm not going to get upset and wild out on Fat Joe and Busta Rhymes. I'm going to let you handle that. But I'm here to slap you up with these words and let you know I'm not feeling what you're saying. I rock with you a little bit to a certain extent, Tariq Nasheed. I rock with the foundation of Black America. I respect that. I'm FBA. I'm a black man just like you. But you know what bugs me out? Yo, 11 o'clock, I'm going to introduce the title, and we're going to play the sound bite. I'm a staff. We're going to chop all this up. The thing is with you, Tariq Nasheed, if a black man or anybody that, number one, don't agree with you, to go along and get along with what you say, you call them a tether. So I'm a tether. Somebody called me a tether on Twitter today. So I'm a tether. I'm an immigrant. I'm all this because I'm not listening. I'm not following Tariq Nasheed. I'm not agreeing with you that Kool Herc is not the father. And hip-hop was here before Kool Herc, so I'm a tether. Because I don't fucking agree with you. I'm going to be easy with my words because my daughter's down the hallway. So I told her I'm not trying to really curse like that. I'm going to calm down. I'm going to speak easy. I'm not really trying to curse like that. But I am going to curse, but not like that. But I'm a tether because I don't fucking agree with you. I'm a tether. I'm an immigrant. Yo, you funny. You funny. No doubt. Facts, bro. Salute. Let me go to another banging beat. My background music. Nobody, let me see if I can turn this up. If anybody disagree with Tariq Nasheed, they trolling. I'm a troll. You trolling. You trolling. Fuck out of here, dude. Fuck out of here with that. Because you're not the gatekeeper. Yo, Tariq Nasheed, you're not the gatekeeper of real hip-hop. You're not the gatekeeper. You don't even know what this is. You might know what it is, but you don't rock with that. You don't work with that. I heard what you was doing in 1990, Cosmo Flex. I heard your little demo, and you know what? It was cool for 1990. It fit the 90s, but you was trying to mimic N.W.A. You was rapping like N.W.A. And yeah, in the 90s, we all had a certain people we wanted to be like. I used to run with the Roller Baton Tribe Called Quest for Righteous Kings. I get it. I'm East Coast, you West Coast, whatever. I get it. You know what I mean? I got my joint. I got my joint right there. Right there. That's my plaque. That's mine. Rapping for Change. Lord Manifest. YouTube it. L-O-D-D. It's right there, M-A-N-A-F-E-S-S, Lord Manifest, 1994. Go on the tube, look at the views. Just Google it. I've been on the radio, I had all that. But yo, Tyreek, you dyed your hair, you dyed your hair blonde. You dyed your hair blonde, son. We'll come back to that. I want to stay on point. Soon as 11 o'clock, yeah, I'm going to introduce this title and my description of you, clown. And then we're going to play the sound bites. I'm going to have to turn the speakers up so y'all can hear and blow us off radio. But I roll with you, Tyreek Nasheed. I rock with, you know, I'm a foundational black American. But I'm not a foundational black American because I'm not siding with you. I'm not on your side. See, you one, see, there's two sides of a story. That's why I don't call a talk to you. Now, I learned my lesson calling Secure the Tribe. I spoke on Twitter, again, you got Secure the Tribe. I tried calling them because they post, oh, my goodness, man. James Brown is not a rapper. Let the brother rap. Are you serious? James Brown, let the brother rap. That wasn't no rap. That wasn't no MC. That wasn't no hip-hop record. Let the brother rap, James Brown. James Brown was rapping. This clown on Secure the Tribe on YouTube, he'll say, oh, my father was rapping in the 60s with James Brown, didn't you? I'm trying not to say the N-word, so I'm saying I'm replacing the N-word with ninja. My father was rapping in the 60s with James Brown, ninja. I couldn't even get a word. I couldn't even get my word out. Because with the Twitter space, you know what they do? They mute you. You get muted. When you come in, they mute you. They chop you off. Abroad disrespected me. Yes, I disrespect her too. You a man, you a woman, you a kid, you're not going to disrespect me. Nobody disrespected. Y'all talking all this, oh, we got to protect the black woman. Yeah, you got to protect the black woman. Like Malcolm X said, the black woman is the most unprotected in America. I get that. You're right about that. But what about when a black woman disrespects the black man? So I'm coming on your Twitter space. You're a black woman disrespecting me, and I'm supposed to eat it? Now Cypher. It is now zero Cypher. Now Cypher. Hell no. No black woman gonna disrespect me in your Secure the Tribe. You upset because I called her a whore? Oh, you called her a whore? You a failure? You a whatever, Duke? Oh, we can nuts. We can nuts. Yo, anybody can talk that. See, here's the deal. I'm letting you see my face on YouTube. This is my channel. I was going to do a Twitter space. But on Twitter space, you can't see no faces. It's just vocal. You see my face. This is what I look like. Okay? This is who I be. This is who I am. So instead of doing a Twitter space, I said I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do my Lord Manifest show Saturday night. Let me rock another beat. I said I'm gonna do my show tonight and get it straight so you can see who I am. So I'm not looking to gain anything off this YouTube except to let people know that Hip Hop Boulevard, baby. 1520 Cedric Avenue, Hip Hop Boulevard, the Bronx, River Park, Dallas. Okay, I'm here again to let people know that hip hop started with Kool Herc. Hip hop don't start with Tyreek Nasheed talking about you a gatekeeper. You the same age as me, dude. You're not the same age as Herbie and Fowler and all that. So hip-hop don't start with you, Tyreek Nasheed. So your joint, oh, let's gatekeep the culture. They stealing out culture. Jimmy, please, man. Please. You are not the gatekeeper of hip-hop, dude. You're not. Hip-hop don't start with you. Hip-hop starts with the real founders of hip-hop. Now, I've seen the documentaries, Talented Fathers, and I've seen a few. But here's the deal. Nobody has stepped up. 1964, 73? Now, you talked about in your YouTube episode that you did, you said everybody died off. Yes, rest in peace to Flowers, he died off. But when Flowers was alive, how come Grandmaster Flowers didn't go ahead and start a whole universe, start the culture? Tariq Nasheed, how come DJ Pete Jones in 1969 gets the culture pumping? Or Disco King Warrior? I'll tell you why. Because back in the 60s and 69, with all the slavery going on with the white man and being poor, I'm trying to think of the word, but being poor, black and poor in the 60s, how could Grandmaster Flowers, Grandmaster Flowers was rocking the music that he was playing, but Grandmaster Flowers wasn't getting people up. You say he had MCs? They didn't spark, they didn't jump off in 69. Tariq Nasheed, how come it didn't pop off in 1969 or in the 40s? Now, New York was broke. New York City was torn down, abandoned buildings all over the Bronx. Certain part of BK was tore up. Nobody was really thinking about it. The Black Spades, the gangs all over New York. You know, there were certain places you couldn't walk in. You had beef. There was beef with Puerto Ricans. So you had to watch your step, kid. You know what I mean? You had to watch your step. So in the 60s, Black Panthers, all that, Malcolm, nobody was thinking about starting a culture of hip-hop. You mad. You upset because we giving thanks to DJ Kool Herc. Oh, Poverty, that's what I was thinking. That's the one I was thinking about. In the 60s, 69, it was Poverty. The boroughs was going through it. It was Poverty. So Tariq Nasheed, my question is, why didn't Grandmaster Flowers, Pete Jones, DJ Pete Jones, King Disco King Mario, why they didn't pop off in 1969-70? Why wait to 1973 and a Jamaican black brother by the name Kool Herc get to the Bronx with a sound system, get the party rocking? Why 1973? Why not 1969? You talk about, you know what? I'm gonna come back to him later. The other two people, the other foundational black people, Tariq Nasheed. I just looked them up. They from Florida. The three guys with the gold tooth that you thought was singing. Somebody put a Dr. Dre beat to it. Yo, you playing yourself. That ain't rhyming. That ain't. It's rhyming, but that ain't really no, that ain't nothing to get the culture pumping. That ain't nothing to say, oh, hip-hop came from that. Oh, that's the, no. Florida, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised in your documentary because I think you're going to show them guys, and then there's another guy from the Bronx, 1969, a comedian who was on stage with Bill Cosby. I wouldn't be shocked in your documentary. Originally, you're going to say hip-hop didn't come from New York City. Hip-hop didn't even come from the Bronx. I wouldn't be surprised if you say that, Tariq Nasheed. I wouldn't be shocked. And when you say that, oh, we're going to come after you. We're going to definitely look for you. We're going to get at you. We don't get action. I triple dare you say in your documentary, hip-hop originally ain't from New York City, ain't from the Bronx. Because you know what's crazy with you was bugged out? I said today in your on your Twitter, I said, yo, you a fucking bug out. You come talking about, oh, can anybody name a record from Jamaica that got hip hop started and something to the ship? I can't remember verbatim. I will pull up the tweet. I'll pull the tweet up. I called you a bug out. Nobody in Jamaica was thinking about hip hop. Oh, you said, can anybody name a record from Jamaica that inspired hip hop in the 70s? I said, yo, you a fucking bug out. Nobody in Jamaica was thinking about hip hop in the year 1970. You a clown, son. Clown. No one was thinking about in Jamaica. Nobody was thinking about hip hop in the 1970s. So, if it was that bad, when Flowers and all them was alive, or Flowers Peoples, King Mario's people, Pete Jones' people, how come they didn't go and check DJ Kool Herc in 1973 when Kool Herc got it started? How come people from Bronxdale didn't come over to 1572 or 1520? You know what? Let me stop saying that. I got so much on my mind. Let me stop saying this. Hold up. Let me stop saying it. Let me pause me a minute. Let me stop saying it. Okay, yeah, I was right. 1520. Yeah, let me stop saying it. Call me on the pause. 1520 Cedric Avenue. 1520 Cedric Avenue. Hip Hop Boulevard, the hat. I said 1572. 1520. You think Bronxdale, brothers from Brooklyn, why they didn't go over and crash her shit and be like, nah, we created this. You're not the father. Herc, you just got here. Because remember, Herc was like 18 years old. 1973. He's like 18, 19. A lot of 19, 18-year-olds. Why they didn't come over? Matter of fact, I think Grandmaster Flash or Bam or Jazzy J. No, not Jazzy J. Bam or Flash. I think they was down with Disco King Mario or what have you. I'm not sure. But the question is, Tariq Nasheed, how come, and I'm about to get, she's 11 o'clock, about to get it started. How come nobody crashed Kool Herc's party and 73 and say, nah, you Jamaican, get out of here. We created hip hop. Nah, see, this is us. We did it. You too late. You a fool, man. You a clown. You a clown, son. You know, 1973, there was more than enough time for your foundational black people, as you call it, Tariq Nasheed, to go check Kool Herc, to go check him. You know, y'all talking and shit saying, oh, I was reading on Twitter, somebody said, oh, we should have checked them Puerto Ricans back then and got them out the game or whatever, whatever, whatever. I don't give a damn about that. Why nobody go and check Kool Herc? Why nobody burn down and shoot up a spot and say, yo, we the hip-hoppers. We did it. We start, get out of here, you Jamaican bum. Why they didn't do that to Kool Herc in 1973? Why? Why? You don't have an answer for that. You don't have an answer for that. Shall we? You don't have an answer. You don't even have an answer. Hold up. What's my name, son? What's up? You don't even have an answer, kid. So anyway, let's pop this off. I took an hour just to ramble around. Now we gonna get into it. Now we gonna get into it. So yo, this is the Tariq Nasheed. It's not the gatekeeper of real hip hop or hip hop. Now, Tariq Nasheed, aka Mr. Marcus Sanders. Check it out, Mr. Marcus, like Mr. Marcus from the porn movies and all that. Shout out. Tariq Nasheed, a.k.a. Marcus Sanders. Traditionally, there are three basic types of clowns that appear in the circus. The Tariq hobo face, the Nasheed bobo face, and the sassy girl face of Tariq Nasheed. Nowadays, a fourth type, the tramp or the hobo Tariq clowns, Nasheed is often recognized separately, even though technically he should be considered as another character clown. Tariq, you should be considered another character clown. Each of them types of Tariq fool clowns, all y'all clowns that follow, y'all may wear makeup. Y'all wearing makeup now. Okay? That is who that clown is. That is who the clown is. Wearing makeup, that's who you clowns are. There's no single absolute definition of what constitutes each Tariq Nasheed clown. Followers. There's no single absolute definition of what constitutes each Tariq Nasheed clown followers types with international performance, wide range, style, form, classical, to innovate of a Tariq Nasheed circus clown. A Tariq Nasheed, your circus clown. Tariq Marcus Nasheed is not the gatekeeper of real hip-hop or hip-hop. Okay? He's just not. After this beat, when this beat go off, no doubt. Yeah, after this beat go off, I'm going to need to play the sound bite. Give me a minute. I'm going to black out the screen. I got to go hit the restroom, all right? Give me a minute. I'll be right back. Peace. Thank you.
So who are you?
Oh, I'm the God who created the culture called help. I'm the only I. Cool Herc. No Bambada, no Flash. Not a copycat. We're just back.
Oh, you know what? One more game.
I'm the God who created.
So who are you?
Oh, I'm the God who created the culture called help. I'm the only I. Cool Herc. No Bambada, no Flash. Not a copycat. We're just back.
That's Cool Herc. He said, only he created hip-hop. Only he did it. No Flash, no Bambada. Not a copycat. No disrespect. And that album came out in 2019. That's Mr. Green and Cool Herc. The whole album is Cool Herc. Talking little intros and skits on the Green album, classic beats. You got some beats, Kid Green, but the Red Jacket got the Red Jacket Killer got other beats. But I ain't got no beef. But you do what you do. I rock the joint. So let's go ahead and get into it. I'm playing sound bites. These are sound bites, okay? Here we go. This is fair use. Fair use. Fair use. Let's go.
This narrative, have y'all noticed that there's this narrative that's going into overdrive right now to attach Latinos to black, foundational black American hip-hop culture, and not just hip-hop culture, just black culture in general. There's just been this fever pitch.
All right, let's stop right there. He said it's a narrative to attach Latinos to black culture. Tariq, everybody latched on to black culture. I'm not surprised. I ain't got no beef with Latinos latching on. I got no beef with that. You bugging. Like, what is it going to hurt? Like, it don't mean that we've been rocking hip-hop. We all black people, Spanish people, we've been rocking hip-hop since the beginning. When you came out, you wasn't popping that shit on your Cosmo Flex cassette tape. Stop it, man.
Effort by the dominant society to attach Latinos to all of our cultures, everything we do, they're doubling down on the black and brown. And this is coming from the top, gentlemen. I'm telling you, this is coming from the top. They were talking about, we're not talking about, they're doing it. They're actually getting a Latino section in the African American History Museum.
I ain't really got no beef at that. Should I mean, why should I care? Like, what difference does it make that Latinos is about to be inside a African museum? I don't get that. Like, so what? Everybody know that the black man did it. We did it. Everybody know that. Who cares, man?
Okay. That your antenna should have been up on that one. Go get your own Latino American museum. How about that?
Yo, how about you bring your whack shit over here to the Universal Hip Hop Museum? Since you're doing your whack-ass museum in California, how about you come visit the Bronx? Come to the hip-hop museum out here in the BX, clown. Yo, Tariq, clown. Bring your clown ass out here and hit the hip-hop museum, the Universal Hip-Hop Museum. In the Universal Hip-Hop Museum, everybody's in there, Spanish and black people. In the early days, who cares, man? Everybody did their thing. I like Fat Joe bangers. Fat Joe got some shit. Joe got some joints. Bus Rhymes got joints. Yo, my antenna should have been up. Yo, Tariq, you're not gonna do anything about it. So what, man?
But they're making it a point to put a section for Latino history in the Black History Museum.
I can agree with you to a certain point. Latinos having a section in a foundational Black American museum, or as you say, African American museum. I don't care. I can give a fuck about that. I don't care. You're not the gatekeeper of real hip hop. False Cool Herc. Alright? Force DJ Cool Herc. You not the gatekeeper, motherfucker. You not.
Now we keep hearing this narrative that people sign to major labels, particularly coming from Fat Joe and Busta Rhymes. This whole repeated narrative that Latinos contributed to hip-hop. Latinos and Blacks created the puppy. It's the
it's a lie. Cause you say so? Son. They are pioneers, Tariq Nasheed. Mr. Marcus Sanders. You related to Colonel Sanders and Bernie Sanders, right? Fuck out of here, man. It's a lot. New York City is Spanish people and Black people, man. It's Black people. Spanish people. Who cares?
Lie that they know it's a lie. Let's be very clear. They know this is a lie. But they keep repeating it. And you know they know it's a lie because whenever somebody or a group keeps repeating the same thing over.
So what is a lie? It's a lie, so what? And it's not a lie. The Ricans came in a few years later. They contribute. They did their thing, son. Who cares in 2022? We know the real hip-hop. My utmost respect is to her. It's nothing you can tell me, man.
Over and over again with no proof. Anytime people say, hey, where's the proof of this? We have proof that is not true.
You got proof it's not true? By opening up that whack-ass museum in California out there in L.A.? You got proof you about to get ready and film a new documentary, a bullshit documentary about hip-hop and we've worked out? That's your proof? Fuck out of here, man.
They just keep saying it. They're going to use those Nazi strategies. Just keep on saying it. Keep telling the lie. Keep telling it long enough. Eventually, it will become the truth. So why are they so...
Yeah, you lie so much, Tariq Nasheed. Pardon, you lie so much, it then became the truth because you got your minions. Anything you say, they believe you. Whatever you say, your minions believe you. You're a clown.
So hell-bent on telling this lie. And the lie is twofold. Either, number one, the lie is it was Black and Puerto Ricans who created hip-hop, or it was Black people who got hip-hop from Jamaicans, so the foundation of Black Americans who got hip-hop from Jamaicans. So,
yo, you a clown. Nobody in New York City is saying hip-hop came from Jamaica. Son, nobody in New York is saying hip-hop came from Jamaica. Nobody in New York is saying Puerto Ricans created this hip-hop in the beginning with Black people. Nobody's saying that but you, son. You're not going to gain anything. Good luck. You're trying to rewrite history. Go ahead, clown. Say, Speak your piece. Go ahead.
Those are the two main lies that they like to spew. Now, some people think, well, it's just music. What does that matter? This is very significant, family. This is not trivial, and they are putting a lot of effort into spreading these lies. Why? It's very important that we understand. This is a form of ethnocide. Ethnocide is when the dominant society starts to erase the culture.
The dominant society, white people, the dominant society. Can nobody erase what's in my heart? When it comes to hip-hop, no white man or so-called foundational black man can erase what's in my heart about hip-hop. The dominant society, they can do what they already been doing, what they have done with hip-hop music, when it was Conscious, when it was Paul Righteous, when it was X-Clan, when it was the G.O.D.'s rapping. They got rid of that and want brothers to speak ill of brothers, negative, culture vote, make money off fake hip-hop and not real. Who gives a damn? I don't care about the dominant society. They can try to erase like you trying to erase Kool Herc. It'll never happen as long as my heart is beating. I will always be here to knock you on your feet, knock you off your feet. Go ahead, son.
Of a subgroup, when you start erasing their culture, this justifies erasing them physically. You see, when you start attacking their culture and their contributions, you start rewriting history. This is what they're doing now. They're in the process of rewriting history.
Wait a minute. Ain't that what you're doing? Tariq, you're in the process right now of rewriting hip-hop history. You trying to debunk August 11, 1973. I wish I could find that soundbite where you was like so shocked. Oh, now they saying hip-hop started August. You didn't even know the date. You're one of your clowns on your security tribe. Oh, hip-hop predates 1973. You didn't know shit. No, you didn't. You didn't know nothing. You only know what Tariq Nasheed tells you to know. What Tariq Nasheed don't tell y'all, y'all don't know. But you only know what this clown tell you.
And it's up to us, foundational Black Americans, on the grassroots, to stop that narrative and combat that narrative.
Police!
I'm a cop.
This guy's crazy, man. This guy is insane. I wanna just curse and up, but pour me. I'm gonna be easy. I'm gonna be easy. Go ahead.
They keep coming up with this narrative that it was Puerto Ricans and blacks, and it was Caribbeans who gave us the culture.
See, the thing that really messes me up. Who are these Caribbeans? Leave Kool Herc out. I know you hate Kirk. I know you hate Kool Herc. Leave Kool Herc out of this. What's these other Caribbeans? Leave Busta Rhymes out of it. Put DJ Kool Herc to the side. Put Busta Rhymes to the side. Who is these Caribbeans or these Jamaicans that saying foundational black people got hip-hop from the Caribbeans? Who the Caribbeans? Who are these Caribbeans, Nasheed? Because right now you say Kool Herc, say Busta Rhymes. I haven't heard you mention any other names. Now I hear Flash and Bam are Jamaica's Caribbeans, but I don't hear you mentioning it in their mouth. You might have mentioned it on another of your platform on your YouTube channel, but I haven't heard you say anything about any other Caribbeans. You always say Kool Herc. You always say Busta Rhymes. Who are the Caribbeans? Who are these? I want to know who are these Caribbeans that said that black people foundational got hip-hop from Jamaica? Let me know, dude. Let me know.
To erase the culture foundation of black Americans. See, whenever it comes to our culture, it has to be shared or erased. They can never really give us props on the positive things that we create. And that's something that we have to stop people from doing. When they...
I can agree with that to a certain extent. That black people, music, soul, culture has been getting robbed and taken by the dominant society. I can agree with that. Originally rock and roll, black people right here. I get that. I agree with you on that point right there. But when it comes to this here, hip-hop, you're just not the gatekeeper. You're not the gatekeeper of real hip-hop. You're not the gatekeeper. Tyreek Marcus Sanders Nassee. Cosmo Flex, you're not. You're not the gatekeeper, dude. Who told you you was a gatekeeper? Huh?
We create something. We don't get to latch on and take credit for it. They make sure that they X us out of any credit that's going to be given for their achievement. You understand? But anytime we create something constructive or something that was beneficial financially or culturally, we have to water it down by attributing every little person and giving them props. So with the whole thing now with the Latino and hip-hop thing, they've lowered the standards so damn far. Basically, if you were a Puerto Rican in the 1970s and you walk next to a black person who raps, they're saying that you contributed to hip-hop. I mean, literally, the bar is that low.
Yo! You know what he said? He said that... Yo, let's rewind that.
Now, a Puerto Rican who just happened to be at a dip or something that was beneficial financially or culturally, we have to water it down by attributing every little person and giving them props. So with the whole thing now with the Latino and hip-hop thing, they've lowered the standards so damn far. Basically, if you were a Puerto Rican in the 1970s and you walk next to a black person who raps, they're saying that you're a contributor to hip-hop.
Yo, Tariq is wilding. That's not true. That's not true. Prove that. How is that? He's saying, I do a beat on my drum machine. I go outside with the MPC holding it like this, and a Puerto Rican stand next to me. Next thing you know, go on Instagram. And like, yo, I do beats now. Some guy that I don't know, some Puerto Rican guy that I don't know. Yo, I do beats now. I just went and stood by the red jacket. I don't even do beats, but yeah, I do beats. Matter of fact, I did his beat. I'm a pioneer. Get the fuck out of here with that. That don't make no sense. Really? In the 1970s, a Puerto Rican standby, who from the 70s? Keith Cowboy. Rest in peace to Keith Cowboy. Grandmaster Flash. Puerto Rican standby Keith Cowboy. Or Kid Creole. Oh, they're pioneers. Stop it, man. Stop. Now.
I mean, literally, the bar is that low. Their point now, a Puerto Rican who just happened to be at a party somewhere, well, he's a pioneer. They're calling people pioneers who just happened to be somewhere where Black Ghost was doing hip-hop.
That's bullshit. Pardon my language. That don't make any sense. He's saying, again, Puerto Ricans walk any stand by a black man. They get the credit. A nobody just... See, this is the bullshit, and y'all believe everything Tariq Nasheed tells y'all. That is not fucking true. I don't believe that. And practically, that ain't even my beef with you. My beef is what you're saying about her. But I'm going to continue and deconstruct and chop all this shit down because, yo, you... Nobody buying this, son. Nobody buying this. Go ahead.
This is how low they set the bar. That's very dangerous, guys. This is colonization. This is not trivial. This is something that's very serious. Because other groups don't let us come in and rape and then pillage and then take their culture. They don't let it happen. And we shouldn't let it happen. And the thing is, so many black people in the...
I can agree with you on that. I can agree with that. Go ahead.
Music industry, especially hip-hoppers, they're afraid to say something. Because especially a lot of the old school people, many of them, they still make their little money today by promoting the universality of hip-hop. Well, hip-hop's for everybody. Because when they go overseas...
Hip-hop is for everybody. This is 2022. No matter how you feel, actually, the culture of hip-hop that I live, this look, the way I talk, the way I wear my flag, my universal flag, the way I move around, I live the culture. It's like what Chris said. Rap is something we do. Hip-hop is something we live. The culture vultures and the people that you just said, hip-hop is for everybody, they don't even live the culture. People don't know what the real hip-hop culture is, Tariq Nasheed. People don't live the real hip-hop culture. So today, hip-hop is for everybody. But only real hip-hoppers recognize the real hip-hop. So basically, it's just rap music. Rap music and hip-hop is not the same. We know that. So basically, rap music is for everybody. But everybody that's rapping, they not doing hip-hop. They not living the culture. Drinking lean, that ain't part of the hip-hop. Now, smoking blunts, you can argue that. Smoking weed, you can argue that, if that's hip-hop or not. But drinking lean and you know, cough syrup, that ain't the culture. But we can argue rolling the blood. You know what I mean? We can argue that. But people that's rapping, they not doing hip hop. But rap music is for everybody, or as they call it, hip hop. They think it's hip hop. It ain't really a boom bap hip hop banger. But hip-hop is for everybody.
See, so when they go to hip-hop conventions, there's usually a lot of non-black people there. Let's keep it above. At these breakdance conventions and b-boy conventions and stuff like that, these are usually people who are not black. So they don't really want to offend them. They have to all lives matter hip-hop in order to make a buck for themselves. And the dominant society knows this. Excuse me. The dominant society, they're aware of this. So a lot of these people who know the truth, these black folks who live in the music industry or who go on these old school tours or whatever, they don't want to mess their little money up by telling the truth. So you better tell the truth or they're going to erase your damn culture.
Well, look, check this out. Rock the Bells was 3 weeks ago in Queens, New York. You had Ice Cube. Representing the West Coast. Bun B came out cooking burgers. Lil Kim. It was a nice lineup. Shout out to Ultra Magnetic MCs, my peeps right there. Now, what I will say, I didn't like the fact that LL Cool J had DJ Z-Trip. I don't know about Z-Trip. And Z-Trip lied. Z-Trip gonna say, oh, he born in Queens, New York, right down the street, what up? You're not from New York, Z-Trip. You tripping. You're not from New York. But my thing is, I was wondering what happened to Cut Creator. Remember, Cut Creator started out with LL Cool J in 1986. And I'm looking at this white kid, G-Trip, which, you know, you got some little skills, but I know LL Cool J and Cut Creator. Cut Creator, LL Cool J. So I can somewhat feel you on that, Tariq Nasheed, but I don't give a damn what white people say. I don't give a damn what your black ass say. Nothing can erase my 49 years of living, boom, bap, real hip-hop, that this record right here, that record, that gold joint right there, that's my joint. Nothing will ever erase that from 94, from the 90s, who I grew up listening to. No white man or black man can erase that part of hip-hop history of me. Nobody can debunk August 11, 1973. You can't debunk that. You can write your little movie. You can talk the shit that you're talking now. Keep talking. Go ahead.
This is why the documentary, man, I'm going to start filming the documentary possibly, hopefully I start at the end of next month, the beginning of October. We're going to get started on that ASAP.
I can't wait, son. Start your documentary. I can't wait. Start it. Because we're going to deconstruct it. I'm going to make sure I get all my peoples on. I'm not going to deconstruct it by myself. I'm going to get collectively my clip. We're going to deconstruct that. And I know you're going to talk shit. You're going to ex-Cool Herc out. I already know you're going to wild out on the weekends. You're going to say, you're going to pull all this shit out your ass. These people from the 1940s. Oh, the 40s is hip. Yo, I'm gonna tell y'all about that later. I got some Wikipedias up. Yeah, you gonna talk your bullshit. Yeah, whatever. Go ahead.
We're almost done with this movie, American Maroon. I am prioritizing that movie. It's very important for us to get this history straight because this is ethnocide. You know, they already do all of this stuff with all of our other cultures. They try to erase us from it. We gotta stop that stuff.
Tariq Nasheed, where was this energy at in 1990 when you had your head blonde? You had your whole head blonde, Duke. You had your gold chains on. I never dyed my head blonde. Never. Now, wait a minute. We know you got a, you know, half and half wife. She's 50% black, 50% white. You got a white mother-in-law. But I ain't here to beef about that. You not the gatekeeper of hip-hop. You talking about gatekeeping. You are not the gatekeeper of my hip-hop culture. You, Mr. Sanders from Bernie Sanders, Marcus Tariq Nasheed, you not the gatekeeper. You not.
You know, BET is not black owned. Let's be very clear. Now, BET put up stuff. They put up a tweet, and I think on the award show this year, they're going to do the whole Latinos and hip-hop thing. So now the white supremacists from the top, they got their plantation flunkies at BET to push this bogus narrative. Now, let me let y'all hear the video BET put up, if you haven't heard it, talking about Latinos and their contribution to hip-hop.
Okay.
This is from BET. They put this up today. Hold on.
Latin movies have been a part of hip-hop since the 30s. From Black Skins on the Linoleum.
Okay. Did y'all hear that? If you can hear the sound, y'all give me a thumbs up. I'm going to play this slow so I can just start debunking all the damn lies.
Like I'm debunking your lies.
You hear that, guys? You can hear that.
Like I'm debunking your lies. You doing a debunk, I'm debunking your joint now.
And give me a hand clap if you're like this. Just let me know if you can hear it good. Lying to Facebook. So they were like, the Latino community has been a part of hip-hop since the very beginning. That's lie number one. That ain't true.
That is true. Clown, that is true. In the 1970s, not 70, 71, 72, 73. You can say 1975, 74, 77, 78 to the 90s. No, pardon, 90s to the 80s. Anything them years ago within the 49 years, because we just turned 49 years old last month, Rican's been a part of that. That is, the 80s is the beginning. 80s, 70s, 70s, 80s, that is the beginning. That is the beginning. That is.
Not true. They were not a part of hip-hop in the very beginning at all.
Yo, nobody's looking at it as 1973, B. 75, 74 years later, the Weeknd came in to the 80s. Yo, son, we 49 years. That's 49 years ago. I'm 49 years old. Hip-hop is 49 years. Fat Joe, brothers from DIT, all the brothers that's been representing the Latinos and all that, they are pioneers. Chris Murphy D, rest in peace. The real Roxanne, that's a pioneer. She's true school. She pioneered the girl rap. Her style representing, going at UTFO. She did a thing. She pioneered the way she was representing as a Rican. You wildin' out.
If so, who? Who were they? Because if we're going to give hip-hop a timeline, they gave it a timeline, 1973, 74. Latinos were not a part of it at all then. They were not b-boying, they were not DJing, they were not in singing. In fact, they were hating on it.
No doubt. That's why I said 1975 on to like the 80s.
So that's lie number one. Hold on.
Black men had been a part of hip-hop since the 70s. From black spins on linoleum to blood up the street like the departure, the trajectory of black hip-hop went from the corner of the rock to every corner of the globe. Early days of hip-hop, black culture expressed folks like DJ Charlie Chase.
All right, so they said folks like DJ Charlie Chase. Okay, he just happened to be Brad Rappin' Cabin's DJ. All right?
Charlie
Chase, he's not a pioneer. Didn't really create anything. He just was one of
Charlie Chase is a pioneer for the Rican DJs, for rolling with Grandmaster Cash, representing. He can be considered a pioneer. Whether he fucking created spinning on your fucking toenails. Part of my language. Charlie Chase is still highly respected because he wanted to represent and be around. Just shout out to him. And he kept it real as well. He was saying certain things about Spanish people calling it jungle, calling us jungle buddies. So we get that. We got that. BET don't know the real history. Okay? I can agree with you. But Ricans are still pioneers. And what they pioneer, whether they created spinning on top of a skillet, don't give a fuck. Their name is out there. Their name is pioneer, man. Fuck out of here, B.
One of the few, and he even said that it was Puerto Ricans hating on him for hanging with the blacks. So Latino culture don't get a, you don't get credit for creating something that you were hating on. He was an anomaly. He just happened to be a Puerto Rican dude who hung with Grandmaster Caz, and Puerto Rican hated on him for it. He said this in many interviews, and so did Grandmaster Caz. You see, we got to get these lies straight, man. Hold on.
Real Roxanne.
Okay. Then they said Charlie Chase, Crazy Legs, and the real Roxanne. If y'all don't stop, are you smoking that damn crack? The real Roxanne. This is desperation, guys. The real rock.
Look. crazy legs is a fine man. For what he was doing with the way he did something with his arm by spinning, his legs wilding out, he pioneered his breakdancing style. I just mentioned what I said about Roxanne, real Roxanne. I ain't got nothing to say no more. Shout out to Crazy Legs. I met him one time in my life. Matter of fact, I met him some years ago in Jersey for we had an album party release with Lord Finesse. Crazy Legs came through. I'll post the picture.
The real Roxanne, a pioneer of hip hop?
She is.
This is where they
she is. She's a pioneer. Brother, she created something, man. Fuck out of here, Charlie. You wilder.
Real Roxanne never had a hit record. And the real Roxanne came around in the late
80s. Real Roxanne had a joint back in 1986. It was a dope-ass record. It was on a compilation tape. Hitman Howie T. DJ Hitman Howie T was Real Roxanne DJ. I forget the title. I'll pull the title up later. Her and Hitman Howie T. Tariq Nasheed, you don't even know who Howie T is. You a clown.
Hey, hip-hop was a decade old by then. Over a decade old.
And?
The real Roxanne was not a factor in hip-hop in any shape, form, or fashion.
Son, she was a pioneer in any form or fashion because she was with DJ Hitman Howie T. Howie T was a DJ for her. He was a DJ for Chubb Rock. Yo, you don't even know who Howie T is, man. Howie T gave Real Roxanne a nice record in 86. She was on a compilation. I'll pull it up later.
You see what I'm saying? They lowered the bar so damn low. Anybody who was Puerto Rican who was around, they're saying that they're pioneers. They like to go to Crazy Legs. Whenever they start talking about Latin and hip-hop, they play the Crazy Legs card. Crazy Legs, great dancer. I met Crazy Legs in Hawaii one time. Nice guy. Good guy. Not a pioneer.
Yes, he is.
Crazy Legs.
Crazy Legs is a pioneer. Fuck that. What he did with his arm, when he went down on the floor to break, to spin his legs, was doing some crazy shit. That's why he got the name Crazy Legs. The New York City Breakers couldn't even fuck with Crazy Legs. Crazy Legs, son, put up New York City Breakers versus Rocksteady Crew. Look at what he does. Fuck out of here, man. You a bug out.
They got things popping in the 80s. Him and the Rocksteady Crew, they got things popping in the 80s. They were doing old dance moves that black folks were doing.
Yo, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 8 years just prior to 73, the 70s and 80s, those of years to be considered, because we 49 years old now. Those are pioneer days, man. 70s and 80s are pioneer days.
Crazy Legs didn't pioneer anything. You see? Black folks, let's stop being afraid to debunk these damn lies.
You listen to Tariq Nasheed, you won't get anywhere. Tariq Nasheed ain't even came to the Bronx to Hip Hop Boulevard. He ain't been to 1520 Cedric, Bronxdale. When Tariq Nasheed, when your punk ass come to New York, we won't even know about it. Unless I look at your Twitter. You ain't even came out here. You ain't from here. Just because you think you a hip-hop historian, Tariq, You don't know shit because you reading books. I ain't got to read a book, son. I did all my reading in high school and in college. Hip-hop, I don't need to read about it. I am hip-hop. I live it. I live hip-hop. What you do, Tyreek, you live on YouTube and Twitter. You get all this money from these black people. They believe every fucking thing you say. Pardon my language. They believe every hot damn thing you say. Anything you say, they believe it. But, yo, put that documentary out and watch what we going to do. Put it out.
All right. Hold on.
Yo, here's the story. Prince Marky D of the Fat Boy and more.
So they're giving credit to Prince Marky D of the Fat Boys.
Rightfully so. From East New York, Brooklyn. I met Marky D and the Fat Boys. I was 10, 11 years old. 1983, 84. I met them. I met Prince Marky D. I'm from Brooklyn. I met the old Fat Boys. Cypress Hill Project. Son, have you been to Brooklyn? Yo, oh, Tariq, I got something for you. Why don't you come on out to New York City, do a town hall? Yo, Tariq Nasheed, do a town hall. Do it in Brooklyn. Or the Bronx. Come over here to New York City, do a town hall. Bring all your smoke to New York City. Do a town hall. Everybody in New York will come see you. Everybody in New York will come see you. Even the New Yorkers that be jerking you off, your followers, they come see you. But real motherfuckers like me and my cliques, we come see you. Everybody from Prince Marky D in Brooklyn will come see you. We all come see you, son. Why don't you come to New York City and do a town hall? Come on, Hip Hop Boulevard. Matter of fact, why don't you come out on 1520 Cedric, Tyreek? Come to New York. Because you come up, you be traveling. I heard you say you've been in the West Indian Day Parade. You travel. You know, your YouTube people, they keep your pockets fat. They keep your pockets fat. But you know what, Tariq Nasheed? You're not stupid. You're not going to put yourself in a position where your head can get cracked to the white meat. You smart. You don't want that smoke. You know, like, I saw what you did. You got the people in California to go to the radio station. You didn't show up. You was in Hawaii. Then you say, oh, the female, that was her gathering. It wasn't mine. But didn't you say that we need to do a pull-up? You said do a pull-up, pull-up summer? It came out your mouth, pull-up. If you going to talk shit, Tariq Nasheed, you should at least show up, but you're smart. You're not trying to get your head cracked open. I feel you. But you should bring that smoke to New York. This shit, this hip-hop documentary that you're doing, yo, bring it out here to the Bronx, to Brooklyn. Go over there to the Hip-Hop Universal Museum and shut them down. Fuck out of here, man.
As a pioneer. Again, Prince Marky D and those dudes came around in the mid to late 80s, and this man was not a pioneer in anything. And I like Prince Marky D. He's a great producer, but he didn't pioneer
anything. Oh, shit. Marky D wasn't a producer. Prince Marky D didn't do the beats. Buffy was the producer, clown. Prince Marky D was a beatboxing MC. Look on the back of the Fat Boys album. Produced by Buffy. Prince Marky D wasn't no producer. Oh, I like Prince Marky D and he was a good producer. Yo, son, you don't even know your hip-hop. You don't even know the five elements of hip-hop. But just to let you know, beatboxing is not one of the five elements. It's the element in hip-hop, but it's not the main five. You said beatboxing. You a clown, yo.
Happened to be Puerto Rican in the 80s, and they're giving him credit for that. You see? And this is BET doing this nonsense. Hold on.
waiting for generations of popular future Latin bitches of hip hop. Fat Joe quickly became a big deal at hip hop while rapping at Latino community. In addition to making moves as an artist and growing his fanbase, Joe began to learn the vision genius. Around 1995, he signed another Latino rapper by the name of Fifth Harmony. Whether traditional hip hop, Spanish lyrics, or emerging fans, Latin hip hop occupied a huge space in the culture. The Latin community has been as proud to be doing hip hop. And there's no.
Oh, wow.
And with that slowing down, anytime soon.
They said that the Latin community, they've been proud contributors to hip hop for the last 50 years. Where? You mean to tell me Fat Joe didn't contribute anything to hip hop? You mean to tell me brothers from Digging in the Crates didn't contribute anything? You mean to tell me, I forgot these other brothers' names, but Puerto Ricans that MC'd in hip-hop, they did contribute to the game. They had dope albums. But that ain't my beef with you. I don't give a fuck how you feel about the Ricans. That's what you're saying about Kool Herc. That's what I care about. Now, yo, I'm still on Blog Talk Radio, but we getting ready to end on Blog Talk Radio. We may go overtime. I ain't got no beef. You can say what you want about the Ricans, but you talking shit about Kool Herc. See, I'm only playing your soundbite. And I'm going to stop that. Carry on. Go ahead.
Where? 50 years ago, what were you contributing to hip-hop? This is disrespectful, Black family. You better know when you're being disrespected.
Tariq, when were you a gatekeeper? Tariq, when were you the gatekeeper? When did you become a gatekeeper? Who are you, B? Yo, son, who are you? When was you a gatekeeper? Yo, I Googled Tariq Nasheed. You ain't even got an album except for 1990. That little shit you put out in the 90s. And that other shit, wash your ass. Black rapper, yo. You ain't even an MC. What did you do? Where you at? But I'm a tether, right? I'm an immigrant. I'm a goon. I'm trolling. Because I'm not kissing your nuts. I'm not doing what your minions do. Fuck out of here, man.
This is disrespect and an ethnocide, and we have to stop being afraid to call this out. We got Fat Joe running around here. He's been retweeting all of this type of garbage all day, and he's been really pushing that narrative. And it's very disrespectful to the foundation of Black American culture.
Yo. I don't know who this is watching me. I don't know who is this right here. Giving him that work, Big Show Jim. Okay, salute. So, yeah, salute. Check this out, man. I'm Black. You Black? I don't know who foundational Black Americans that live in New York. I don't know who Black in New York or here in the Bronx or right now going on Trinity Avenue, going over there by Tremont, Black going to see Fat Joe people busting his house window. Gasoline, burning this shit up. I don't feel disrespected by nothing. If Fat Joe saying Puerto Ricans created hip-hop, son, I don't give a fuck about that. Damn, I gotta calm down. I gotta watch my language. I don't give a damn about Ricans saying that they created hip-hop because I know the real deal. That the Black men, the foundation or the Native Black men created it. So what Fat Joe is saying, let me ask you something, Tyreek Nasheed. Are you going to get at Fat Joe? Are you going to get at Busta Rhymes? Yo, Tyreek Nasheed, are you going to get at Busta Rhymes? Are you going to get at Fat Joe? Are you going to get at them?
This is why we're doing this documentary, and there are real people who have to get credit where credit is due.
Oh, my goodness. Who's the real people, Tyreek Nasheed? Yo, this is very interesting. Who are these real people that's going to be in your documentary that you're going to get at Fat Joe, Busta Rhymes, Fat Boys people, Real Roxanne, AG and them from DITC. Who are these real people that's going to be in your documentary? Who, yo, Tyreek Nasheed. Yo, check this out, sir. I didn't even hear you were Academics. I heard about Academics. You did an interview with Academics. See, Academics don't know no better. Academics don't know any better. I heard a little bits and pieces what you said to Academics. Fuck out of here, man. You bugging. You see, why don't you talk to Millie Mel? Is Millie Mel going, is anybody from the Furious Five going to be in your documentary? What about Grandmaster Cass from Cold Crush? What about The Treacherous Three? What about Sunshine, Spoonie G and them? You gonna talk to Moe? Who, son, I can't wait. Who you got in this documentary, man? Who you got in your documentary? Who's gonna be in it?
And they've been trying to erase foundational Black American contributions and creations of hip-hop. I posted a clip. Let me repost this thing. This is from a book. Let me repost something real quick. Let me put it in the Jumbotron. Because I've been studying these lives for a long time. What you see in the Jumbotron, that's a snippet from a 2016 book called Can't Stop, Won't Stop, by author Jeff Chang, who's Asian. Now, Jeff Chang in this book, and I caught this a few years ago because I got a lot of books on hip-hop. I studied this stuff.
Okay. All right, Tyreek Nasheed. You got a lot of books on hip-hop. You say you study this. But you know what's crazy, Tyreek? Me and you the same age. I might be a couple of years. You might be a couple of years. We the same age, Tyreek Nasheed. You study and read books. Yo, Tyreek Nasheed, you know the first motherfucking time that I started MCing? I was 10 years old. I was 10. I started spitting at 10. I didn't need to read a book. Yo, you know who inspired me to spit at 10 years old? Just Ice. Just Ice from BK, but living in Castle Hill and the BX. Just Ice. I started listening to Justice. The God, Justice the Lord, Just Ice. He inspired me to spit. I started spitting at 10 years old while my peoples was breakdancing. As my life got old, as I grew, I never had to read a book about hip-hop. I knew about Kool Herc. I knew what was happening. I didn't get on a New York City train. Matter of fact, I got my ass whooped because my mother didn't want me to get on a train at 10 years old by myself. I got over graffiti all, and the train was so up. I got on that train. So I never had to read a book on hip-hop. I never had to study hip-hop. I was ill with the writing. I always made beats. This is MPC. I've been banging out. I'm from the Big Rotten Apple. I did this. Carry on, man.
He deliberately lied in this book. In this book, he falsely claimed that MC, the first hip-hop MC, Coke LaRock, was an immigrant. He said Coco Rock was an immigrant.
But he's not. He wasn't an immigrant. He's a black.
The same kind of excitement he felt as a Pitney down yard, meeting a Jamaican. Along with his immigrant friend, Coco Rock, he distinguished their crew from the disco DJs by translating the Kingstonian vibe of sound system DJs like Count Machuki, King Sid, U-Roy, and Big U for the Bronxies. Okay, that's a lie. That's the name.
Yo, okay, first off, man, check this out, Tyreek. First off, I know Coco Rock. I know he's not an immigrant. He's a foundational black American, as you call it. I roll with Dr. Claude Anderson. I'm a native black man. You FBA, I'm MBA. I don't use your terms. But anyway, let's stay on topic. We know Coco Rock is not an immigrant, okay? Now, for us, Cool Herc with the sound system, because you were saying that foundational black people had the sound system already, well, I don't know about that. You wasn't there. I wasn't there. We both was babies. But I don't have to be there to know that Cool Herc sound system, he had something different that the Bronx just wasn't doing. Or BK, or the Five Boroughs, man. I know that. I don't have to be there to know that. So you say you read books, you study these lies, all that. Son, Tyreek. Rest in peace to Kevin Samuels. Kevin Samuels got 2 million followers. Tyreek, you ain't even got a million followers, son. I looked at your YouTube. I looked at your IG. You ain't got a million. You got what, 300K something? Who's really listening to you with your 300K stock? Go ahead, Tyreek.
Am I? Number one, Coco Rock is not an immigrant. That's why they didn't specify it.
I know, we know that.
Immigrated. Hold on.
Visit Sweetwater Doc.
Yo, Tyreek Nasheed's plan. He debunking shit, and I'm definitely debunking you, sir. I'm giving you that work. You wanna try to do all this shit? I'ma stop that. I'm stopping you right there.
Why they did not specify where Coco Rock was supposed to have immigrated from? They didn't specify it. That was the reason. They didn't. He just said he was an immigrant, and he knew he was lying. That's why he
cooked. Coco Rock is from the Bronx, man, right down the street on Gun Hill Road, right off of Gun Hill, White Plains. Coco Rock. LaRock from the Bronx, not far from Cedric, 1520. This is the 2 train over here. Over there is the number 4 train. So we know LaRock is from out here, man.
He didn't say immigrant from where. He was trying to imply that Coco Rock also immigrated from Jamaica, but he knew it was a lie. That's why he didn't actually say it. He just threw that lie out there and just kind of let it spin.
Yo, it's hard to believe you, Tyreek, because you be making shit up, son. You be, and people believe everything you say, man. I'm going to have to research that, but I don't have to research Coco Rock because I already know.
And then made it a lie by association, by associating Count Machuki and all of this Jamaican stuff to Coco Rock. Coco Rock's family is from North Carolina. Coco Rock is not an immigrant. See, they've been planning these lies for a long time to erase FBA culture, then. That's very significant.
Hip-hop term 49. Wait, let me read what you said, man. Let me read what you said. You said Mel started the rapping part of hip-hop, and without Flash, Quick Mix rappers will have nothing to rap to. Just Ice, the original gangster hip-hop. No doubt.
And this whole thing where we got rap from the Jamaican dance, all that's horse crap.
Yeah, you know what? Son, I think this week, I'm gonna go out in New York. I'm gonna go on Fordham Road, and then I'm gonna go downtown Brooklyn with my phone, with my cam phone, and I'm gonna talk to like real motherfuckers, like people my age. I'm going to speak to black men and black women my age. And I'm going to ask black people, can you tell me who are the people that saying black people got hip-hop music from Jamaica? Matter of fact, I'm going to talk to people from Ultramagnetic, and I'm going to get in touch with Ice-T. I'm going to find out. I'm going to get it all on my phone, a posted video. I'm going to take a trip and go out to Boston, but I'm going to talk to black people everywhere between New York and Boston. I'm going to go. I got a show in Boston. I'm going to go out there, and I want to find out, Tariq Nasheed, who are the foundational black people, the native black men and women, who is saying that hip-hop came from Jamaica? Hip-hop was created in Jamaica and then in the Bronx. I want to find out who's doing that. I'm going to find out who said that, man. Word. Tariq, can you get somebody in your documentary to at least, just spread the name out? I would like to know who are the black people that saying hip-hop came from Jamaica, that Jamaicans created hip-hop. It was only one black man that we all know in these five boroughs. It was Kool Herc. Now, if I talk to Sean Paul, if I get in touch with Patra, if I get in touch with Cuddy Ranks, Shava Ranks and them, if I get in touch with them and ask them about hip-hop, they're going to look at me like I'm fucking crazy. If I ask Beanie Man, matter of fact, I'm going to the West Indian Day Parade on Monday. I'm going to make sure I get back in, go to the West Indian Day Parade, and I'm going to talk to some real Jamaican motherfuckers and get it on my camera and post it at you and really get, I'm going to look this through, because I don't believe shit you say. Your peoples believe you. Your FBA family, they believe anything you tell them. Whatever Tariq Nasheed says, they believe it. And if you go against Tariq Nasheed, you're an immigrant. You're a tether. You're a troll. You're a coon. I'm all this shit because I'm not kissing your nuts. That's why I don't call your Twitter space, because you, them secure the tribe motherfuckers, they do this shit. They mute you. You try to get your point of call, I'm going to play that sound bite when I play myself trying to call, because y'all one-sided. It's always two sides of a story, but when it comes to Tariq Nasheed and secure the tribe, It's one-sided. Fuck out of here with that. Go ahead, man.
Family, no one was listening to no damn dance hall out over here. Kool Herc wasn't playing dance hall nor reggae music.
Yes, he did. Let me tell you what happened. Kool Herc said in his interview, and I'll pull up that soundbite. DJ Kool Herc said in his interview, when he first came over here, he was spinning Jamaican music. He was spinning that shit for like almost an hour. Then he saw the crowd was like, they wasn't feeling that. Then he stopped the Jamaican music. He played, as you call it, FBA. I'm rolling with Dr. Claude Anderson. I'm a native black man. So he played the native black men and women and the foundational black men and women music. This is what Kool Herc said. He would go half and half. He would do 30 minutes reggae, then he would do 30 minutes of hip-hop, Tariq Nasheed. Stop bullshit, man. Yo, why don't you come on out here to New York, man? Yo, son, do a town hall in New York. Your documentary, you should groundbreak that in New York City and get all the five boroughs to come out and see you, man. Because I'm definitely going to come see you. I'm going to come see you, man. Come out to New York with that documentary, man.
He said that. We weren't listening to Caribbean music at all. We were listening to funk records, and we had people rhyming over funk records. Hell, James Brown was rhyming in some of his records, not
what?
Singing, but rhyming.
No, you're lying. James Brown is a singer. James Brown wasn't an MC. nor a rapper. Let the brother rap wasn't a rap. Hey, yo, get up down and let's get up. Get up, put that hat on, boy. We're going to jump up and down. Get up, son. That just some old talk, rap, whatever. That wasn't no real MCing. When you listen to Let the Brother Rap, he was singing. James Brown was not a hip-hop artist. James Brown was a funk artist. That's why I said James Brown opened up the doors for sampling. My MPC right here, my Renaissance. We all started with the MPC 60, the 2000 XL. James Brown opened up the doors for us sampling his beats. James Brown wasn't feeling that. And then he admitted, yeah, he claimed to say, yeah, he founded hip hop, whatever, whatever. I ain't mad at that. But James Brown didn't record a hip hop album. You wow, son.
He had Pink Meat Martha doing records where he's rhyming over beats. We were already doing that in the 1960s and even going before that.
Pink Meat Markham? Son, really? Pink Meat Markham was a comedian. Why don't you tell the truth, Tariq Nasheed? Pink Meat Markham was a damn comedian, man. April 18, 1904. All right? December 13. He was an American entertainer, the best known as a comedian. All right? Markham was also a singer, dancer, and actor. Let me say it again. Pink Meat Markham was also a singer, a dancer, an actor. He was not a rapper. When you listen to Here Come the Judge, Here Come the Judge, yeah, that was kind of funky. You can say that was some old, you know, some tight, you know, rhyming, but it wasn't no real rhyming. He was a comedian. He was bullshitting, playing around. And if so, if Pig Meat Markham, all right, here's the people. You say you always be on the dick of Disco King Mario. And look at that name, Disco. All right? Disco ain't hip-hop. Hip-hop ain't disco. But you always talking about Disco King Mario. Why didn't, and Pete Meat Markham is from the BX. He's from Bronxville. Right there with Disco King Mario, Flowers from Brooklyn, okay, DJ Pete Jones, BK. So if foundational black people, as you call it, Tariq Nasheed, was already doing it, 1969, why didn't the culture start at 69? Why didn't the culture jump off at 69, son? 69, the year 1969, why didn't Pig Meat Markham jump off with the culture, with the hip-hop culture? Alright? Pig Meat Markham was a comedian, Tariq Nasheed. That got in basis like, matter of fact, when I listened to the other records that Pig Meat Markham was doing, Here Come the Judge, that was just one song on a funky type beat. And yeah, he doing his little whatever, whatever, but he was joking. That wasn't no real shit. That wasn't no real MCing. And the culture didn't pop off till 1973. Okay? So, early life and career. Yo, he was born in the community. Family. The Mosat Street, which came to be called later Markham Street, and he was born in the BX, or he lived in the Bronx. Actually, he was born in North Carolina, but he lived in the Bronx. That was April 18, 1904, and then I'm reading this off of Wikipedia. I got it ready. December 13, 81, he was 77 years old. So let's look. Let's look at let's look at that song that he dropped. Let's look at that song that he came out with. Let's look at the singles. He got a song called How Long, How Long. That's a blues joint. Cedar Rider, My Wife, I Ain't Seen Her, Here Come the Judge. Now listen to this. It was 19 on the Billboard chart. The U.S. R&B for 19 in Europe, and then I think in Australia said 71. So what's that? Pig's popcorn. So look, man. Tariq, you weighed off. That guy was a damn comedian, man. That guy was not a MC. You wilder, but go ahead, whatever.
We gotta get this history straight. We, the Foundation of Black Americans, notice we have receipts. We have receipts. We can prove everything we're saying. We can show you the people who were rioting. We can show you the people who were FBA who were doing graffiti in the 60s.
So that's what I want to see when you drop your documentary. I want to see all of this in your documentary, Tariq Nasheed, Mr. Marcus Sanders, Colonel Sanders, Bernie Sanders, Tariq Nasheed. Put that in your documentary, man. But I'm definitely going to find out right here in New York City who is saying hip-hop came from Jamaica. Brought from Jamaica over to the Bronx was cool, hurt, one black Jamaican man.
We can show you people who are FBA from the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Okay, now check this out. You just said the 40s, right? These brothers here, it's called the Jubilees. They're from Florida. What else we got here? I'm looking at the Wikipedia. The Jubilees were American gospel group. Oh, that's the key word, gospel. The Jubilees were American gospel group active between 1940s, as you said, and the 1950s. Previously known as the Royal Harmony Singers in 1936. I'm going to stop right there. So basically, it's pretty much almost like you saying hip-hop ain't from New York. Because if you want to go down the foundation of Black America in 1950s, 40s, the Jubilee, that's Florida. So are you going to say in your documentary, hip-hop ain't from the Bronx? Hip-hop ain't Hip-Hop Boulevard in the X? Is that what you're going to say in your documentary? That hip-hop really come from Florida because the foundation of Black Americans was already rapping and all that. Son, they Royal Harmony Singers. So that little shit you posted on your Twitter to the Dr. Dre beat of them, that ain't no real MCing. That ain't no real lyrically inclined shit right there. That don't count. 1940s and 50s doesn't count. Nobody in the 40s and 50s was thinking about creating five elements of hip hop. Nobody was coming with the microphone, the turntables, the MC and the breakdance and the graffiti, as Bam Bada was saying, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, as the God was saying, as us 5% of the nation of the gods was saying, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, culture, and power. But Bam Bada said knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Those are the five elements of hip-hop. Why they didn't do that in the 1950s and 40s, the 40s and 50s? Tariq Nasheed, tell me something. Foundational Black Americans was already doing it in the 40s and 50s. No doubt. They didn't create the culture. Why wasn't the culture? Since you know every damn thing, Tariq Nasheed, why they didn't start the culture in the 40s and 50s? You say you can show us Foundational Black Americans that was doing it that was doing all the dancing and all this shit. But 1973, why nobody? And you also said the foundation of Black Americans, they died off. Yeah, I'll repeat this because I said at the beginning of the podcast of this channel. When DJ Flowers and Disco King Mario was living prior before they died, because King Mario died in 1994. So DJ Disco King Mario, he died in 1994. So you mean to tell me between 1970s all the way up when Herc started in 73, why didn't DJ Disco King Mario go from Bronxdale over to 1520 Cedric and bust Herc shit up? Just tear his shit up and say, yo, you Jamaican, well, get out of here, Marlo. We create, I'm the Black man that did. We were doing hip-hop. How you were doing hip-hop when you was playing disco? So Tariq Nasheed, all that living that King Mario, Disco King Mario was living, how come he didn't go check Kool Herc? You know every damn thing. Why? Nobody... Son, I can tell you something. I don't even recall anything of Disco King Mario doing anything back in 89, 90. Because when I left out of high school to go uptown to a hip-hop spot where I first met DJ Kool Herc, and all of New York was there in the Bronx at this spot, I don't know no mention of anybody telling me about Disco King Mario, and he died in 1994.
Doing breakdown moves on the floor where they were getting on the ground doing different types of spins. We can show you FBAs who are doing that. Notice they can't show us any Jamaicans doing any of that stuff.
Yo, check this out. I'm not even concerned about Jamaicans breakdancing, Tariq Nasheed. Why would I? When I'm only concerned about DJ Kool Herc and what he showed me and everybody in my high school in all five boroughs. When all five boroughs came to the Bronx to see DJ Kool Herc do what he do. I don't recall anything of Jamaicans from then to 2022. Who would know of Beanie Man and Shaggy? Shaggy breakdancing. Stop.
They can't show you. They damn sure can't show Puerto Ricans doing any of it. You see, we got to call the lies out. And let's stop being afraid to call out the lies. There's an effort all across the board right now to create a sense of ethnocide. There was an article that came out today in the Cause about this Tether, this old woman who's a non-FBA Tether.
Yo, that's the key word, non-FBA Tether. So basically, since I'm debunking this shit, I'm a non, although I'm a Black man. I'm straight Black. I'm not mixed. I'm a Black man. But since I'm debunking everything you're saying, so I guess I'm a non-FBA Tether because I'm not on a Tariq train. I'm not riding the wave with you, man.
She named me in the article, and she was denigrating Foundation of Black Americans. The article, I put it up on my Twitter feed. The article said, Caribbean Madness, celebrating Black Caribbean Americans in the U.S. while combating xenophobia, meaning us telling them to hold their own nuts. All right. So her article goes to say, growing up in New York City, I was exposed early on to the richness and diversity of Caribbean American communities, which was more than likely not the experience of folks from many other parts of the state, meaning Foundation of Black Americans.
The drip plug instantly turns you rough.
Yo. My beef is, like I said to you, sir, You not the gatekeeper, Tariq. Tariq Nasheed, you not the gatekeeper of real hip-hop. You not the gatekeeper. You talk about foundational black Americans. Oh, we need to gatekeep the hip-hop. But I don't recall in 1987 when I went to buy Rakim's album and Big Daddy Kane, when I went in the store in Tower Records, I never seen Cosmo Flex. Me and you the same age. Shouldn't you have had a record in the 1980s, Tariq Nasheed? Shouldn't have been in Tower Records in the mom and pop store in Brooklyn? I don't, Tariq, what have you contribute to the game? You not even an MC. You a YouTuber. You making documentaries and movies. You getting ready to rewrite history in your new documentary, man. Get out of here.
There was a patchwork school for blackness in New York City that had many accents, amazing food, music, and history. I was no stranger to black Latinos, whether from Puerto Rico, Cuba, the Dominican Republic. I knew the difference between Bajans and those from Trinidad and Tobago or St. Lucia. All right. Like many non-Caribbean folks in New York, meaning foundational black Americans, most likely.
Yo, it's foundational black people that live here in New York. I'm one of them. But I'm a tether according to you. Carry on.
When I got older, I made an annual pilgrimage to the West Indian neighborhood.
What year?
Which was taking place.
Hey, what year? What year did what year was the first Caribbean Day parade? I know. What day was it? What year was it in New York City? We the same age, sir. I've been at all of them. I know everybody. Let me know.
Which is taking place this year on September 5th. I regularly attended lectures at the Caribbean Cultural Center. I say all this because I'm disturbed by a very loud...
No, you didn't. Because I would have seen you in New York at the Caribbean Center. I would have saw you there. No, you didn't. Yo, post a video. Show us. Tell me the first year you came to BK, to Crown Heights, man, to the first festival, Labor Day Parade. I was there. I've been there. I've been to all of them.
But in vocal right-wing black American minority who's spending their time on social media attacking Caribbean folks, whether Creole, Spanish, or English speaking, as not black. These people who openly embrace and...
Hey, yo, listen, I got two of y'all up there. I want to give y'all, I'm going to give y'all a phone number. I don't have the YouTube number. But, yo, if you want to call me, man, if you want to call up, call me at 718-650-3183. 718-650-3183. Give me a call. 718-650-3183. Call me up. I want to hear from you. Call me.
Anti-immigrant policies that are rapidly MAGA, and they need to be called out by all of them. So she's talking about us, family. Now we're right-wingers and MAGA. Here they go with that nonsense. So if we call out the damn Democrats for crapping on us and prioritizing our people over us, they're running this over with all the women MAGA. Right-wingers.
Comedian. This is comedy, yo.
White supremacist garbage coming from the DNC, by the way, guys. This is the right-wing. This is some DNC nonsense, people. This is some DNC nonsense, and here they go. They name me. Part of this movement is morphed into Foundation of Black America, which was founded by Tariq Nasheed, a filmmaker.
I mean, how could we disagree with that? When I first heard of you in 2015, a female put me on to you. I remember watching your Hidden Colors. I remember the few little, when I started watching your YouTube joints, I never heard you mention anything of FBA. You know what I mean? People were saying that you took the FBA from the ADOS, the Africans, descendants of slaves. That's the thing that's going around saying you took the FBA from them. But I don't remember you mentioning that shit. And then when I listened a couple of days ago to your Cosmoflex. When I listened to your joint, that record you did in 1990, you didn't mention anything about FBA. So yeah, you the founder, son. You the founder. But I rock with it. Foundational Black American, being the founders of America, I fuck with you on that. But when it comes to hip hop, you not the gatekeeper. You not, son. No, you're not. We the same age, babe. You not.
They took an author of books glorifying pimping. Stop it. He also has a large YouTube following and
you do.
Online following.
I mean, she not lying. You got a large YouTube following. You have a large Instagram, Twitter following. Everybody loves you. They love you. They believe anything you say, Tariq Nasheed. Anything you tell them. You can tell them, yo, go outside. The sky's going to fall. It's going to rain a lot of dirt. Get your kids. They will run and do anything for you. They believe you. Not me. So I'm a tether. I'm an immigrant. I'm a cold. Whatever, B. Whatever. Bring it over here to New York, man.
Then they keep talking about MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. When you hear all of that, when he wrote the pimp book, that's coming from the DNC. That's supposed to be their shaming tactic, which I've never written pimp books. My book, The Art of Macking, wasn't a pimp book.
Yo, The Art of Macking is talking some pimp shit. You see, the thing with you, Tariq Nasheed, you like, again, you want to be this type of motherfucker that you just show above people. You just above it's what you say. You just I don't have a word for what it is, but you just seem like you just too better or just too perfect. Like you just perfect. Like, son, the automatic was about some pimp shit, yo. If you mack a female, you pimp a female. Son, why you want to play? I'm not stupid. I know what it is, Tariq. I'm not stupid, son. I know what it is.
Everybody knows it. That's why that lie falls flat. But this is them trying their shaming tactics now. And they put out a lot of garbage about me. You see, lately, some of the rumors and lies that put out about the feds and the white DNC. And
yo, Tariq, why you think they're not going to let you come to Washington, D.C.? I heard that you wanted to do a foundational Black American pull-up in Washington, D.C. But, son, what you doing? You going to go to D.C. with all your FBA family? And what? And what? What y'all going to do? It ain't like you trying to get in the White House and speak to somebody in the Senate. Y'all talk a lot about reparations. But this is the thing I want to ask you. What white man, or as you say, from the dominant society in the Senate, that's going to agree to give Black people reparations? Just getting on Twitter and YouTube, gathering all your followers, talking about, yo, we going to get this reparation. What white man in Washington, D.C. in the White House is going to sign that? Who? That's why they're not going to let you, that's why you think they're not giving you the permits to go to D.C., Tariq Nasheed. You say they're giving y'all the runaround, ain't giving you the paperwork and all this and that. Tariq, you ain't no one to throw a dollar at. You ain't nobody to spit at, man. You ain't nobody. Son, you not the gatekeeper, B, of hip-hop. You not.
Every other week, they got some crazy video about me talking about my street past, and they always have to over-exaggerate it. According to them, if you listen to some of the rumors and lies that these people put about me, I was a drug dick.
Everything and rumors and lies is because you say so. You know, Tariq Nasheed, when you say that I'm white and I say so law, the I'm white and say so law ain't no different than the I'm Tariq Nasheed and I say so. So everybody lying on you, Tariq is perfect. Tariq is just the motherfucker. Tariq is just the man. Everybody lying. It cools. I'm not. Because you say so. Because you say so, huh?
Stealing, murdering, gangbanger with a whole bunch of hoes with an international crime rate back in the day. If you listen to them, I'd have murdered all types of people. I didn't call all types of body things. If you listen to them, I'm fucking Dolomite. The shit that they talk about, it sounds like a Dolomite. Like, I'm driving around. I was back in the day in a Cadillac. Where's my money, bitches? I kill you, motherfucker. You rat juice eating motherfucker. I'm a Dolomite, according to these people.
Yo, son, I give it to you, Tyreek. Yo, son, you're a comedian. I will give you that. Yo, you're a great comedian, son. You hilarious. That's why I be checking you every now and then, because I check you for laughs, kid. I check you for laughs. Son, you are hilarious, man. You hilarious. That's why I be checking you. I don't follow you on Twitter, but I check you on YouTube and all that like I'm checking you now. Like I'm cutting in on your bullshit, what you said, but you're hilarious, man. Yo, you hilarious.
Damn, I just got all these bodies and had all of these kilos of cocaine. Good Lord. I'm walking around in bailout jumpsuits and fuck out of here. So this is them trying to discredit me because so many people listen to what I say because I want to tell the truth. So they're trying to get in front of this thing early to try to say, don't listen to him. Don't listen to the drug dealing murderer. Don't listen to him. He just murdered people. And he has made a deal with the CIA. It gets real crazy with the conspiracies. But the thing is, man, listen, these folks are mad at us as Foundation of Black America. And this article is very interesting. They want to celebrate Caribbean culture in America, but when we say, okay, we want to celebrate our Foundation of Black American culture, we're divisive and mad. When we want to celebrate our damn history, which is unique, we're MAGA and xenophobic.
I don't know about that because Harlem Week is nothing but black people in Harlem. And we just had Harlem Week started at the beginning of the month. Harlem Week, EPMD was out there, Wyclef Jean came out there, Donnell Jones, Freddie Jackson came out there. Harlem Week, black people. So we are celebrating, foundational black people, Harlem celebrating. So I didn't see nobody coming through shutting that down. Like I don't get that with what you're saying, man. I don't get that. I don't follow you. I don't go with that with what you're saying. Nah, I don't.
My ass. Because these folks are projecting. They're projecting the xenophobia and the anti-FBA hatred that they've had for decades. They have always, since the 70s, come over here and have this whole jealous-ass anti-FBA mentality where you want to come over and leech off of us and then say, well, we need to stay away from them and don't share nothing with them. They've always had this hatred of us. Too many of them have. That's the long and short of it.
Well, look, I can agree with that to a certain extent. I can agree with that to a certain extent. But at the end of the day, look where I'm at. Look where I'm at. I saw where you at, son. I saw that joint when you say, yo, and you in California, you in your white neighborhood, you say you in a $2 million mansion house. Stop, Tyreek. That shit don't look nothing like Ice-T's crib. I know what a mansion look like. Don't look like the Wu-Tang mansion. I've been to the Wu-Tang. I've seen your background. Stop. Oh, the downstairs look good like the upstairs. Stop it, man. Stop. I seen your joint, yo. Nah, stop it. $2 million, stop.
And anything positive that they do, they make sure we don't get credit for it. They've been doing that.
Okay.
They have been doing that. It's never xenophobic when they do that. But when your criminal class goes out here and does all of this rah-rah filth, y'all want to dump them on us, and we're saying no. We do not want you to dump your damn filth on us. See, that's the big problem, guys. That is the main issue that they really have. We don't let them dump filth on us anymore. So whenever we see these crimes that go on, we make sure, hey, that nigga ain't FBA, by the way. Hey, the dude, he just raped all the women. Hey, by the way, he ain't FBA.
Hey, that guy that made that YouTube, that large manifest, he ain't FBA, by the way. He just talk shit about you, that large man. If he got on that hip hop boulevard hat, he ain't SBA, Tyreek. You get the fuck out of here, man. Young man, go ahead with that.
Yeah, that woman in Atlanta that shot up all the people, yeah, she's from Cameroon. She ain't FBA. We're not letting you dump your garbage on us no more. They have a problem with that. Because, see, there's this little perverted game that they've been playing where anything positive, they become a doctor, I'm a Belizean American doctor. I'm a Nigerian American PhD. And all the criminals just get to be black. And they sit up here and nudge and wink each other while we have to take the brunt of the filth that comes from their culture.
Hey, yo, this is the Lord Manifest Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're doing an overtime right now, but I'm going to say peace on Blog Talk Radio, but I'm going to continue this out on YouTube channel. I see my Wi-Fi is starting to act like a bug out. It's starting to act all crazy. So I'm going to go ahead and sign out over here on Blog Talk Radio. So tune in next time. I'm going to try to get AOV up on the show. Blog Talk Radio as well as YouTube. Thanks a lot on Blog Talk Radio, True Radio, for giving me the position to do this podcast. Salute to y'all on Blog Talk Radio, but I'm going to stay on YouTube and finish this out. So peace to Blog Talk.